Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, we're going to read verses 7 through 14 this morning. Our text this morning really reminds us what it means to live as children of God. Last week we talked about how the gospel itself is the one thing that has the power to move us from slavery into sonship, from being owned by sin to being owned and loved by Almighty God. We do nothing out of our own strength. Everything that we do comes because the love of God compels us that we might be transformed. So today we want to learn what it means to be pleasing to the Lord. We want to learn what it means to discern. When I was a young man, I had a great difficulty in understanding the concept of pleasing the Lord. Maybe even today I still do. I'm reminded of this precious quote from Charles Spurgeon, who once said, "Holiness is not the way to Christ. Rather, Christ is the way to holiness." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word and teach us from it, and give to us your Holy Spirit. And use a sinner to point the narrow way of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. Here's God's word. "Therefore do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" This is God's word. I want to remind you of two men whose names were Obstinate and Pliable. And they were coming from the city of destruction, and they are trying to chase down Christian and bring him back to the city from whence he comes. The city that Christian has learned is going to be destroyed by fire from heaven. And Christian pleads with them that he cannot go back. And he says, "Why don't you just join me as I walk towards the celestial city?" To which Obstinate says, "What? And leave our friends? And leave our comforts behind us?" And then Obstinate begins to mock Christian, and he cannot understand why anyone would think of leaving the whole world and chase after a city that you cannot see. It's the beginning of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And it's really, in essence, what the Apostle Paul says right here. The world is set for destruction. And those who are in darkness are actually set for that very same destruction. And the Apostle Paul says it is dark and it is disobedient to God. And this is a world which is set to be punished for opposing God. That's why the Apostle Paul says, "Don't be fooled. There is punishment. And do not join them in their death. Before Christ, you were darkness. But then Christ exposed your sin and made you light." This morning, we find in the light a new walk, a new way, and a new power. A new walk. Because the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, the Apostle Paul says in verse 6, because that wrath is coming, therefore do not become partners with them. I've been so intrigued by the word partners this week, because in the original language it has to do with two people who go into business together. And so the Apostle Paul seems to look at his people and plead with them and say, don't become partners with the darkness. Verse 8 is a little surprising. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." The reason it's surprising is, if you've ever read the Apostle John, either in his Gospels or in his letters, you're accustomed to hear him say, in light or in darkness. John doesn't seem to go quite as far as Paul does. Paul says it this way, you're not just in the darkness, you were darkness. You're not just now in the light, you are light. Let's look at what you were and what you are. What you were in the darkness has been described by one writer as ignorance and error and evil. So I might think of it this way. Eric, you were in the darkness, ignorance and error and evil. 1 John 5:19 says that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And Romans 3:19 says that the whole world is accountable to God. Those who are in the darkness are themselves darkness because they blend in with their surroundings, because darkness is who they are. And outside of Jesus, that is who any of us would be. People are darkness by their own doing, though, friends. They didn't just fall into it. That is who they are. And they're sadly groping in darkness, which should, as believers, give our hearts concern. There are friends who have been born into the darkness, and we watch them grope. And yet you, in Christ, have been birthed into light. And the fact is that darkness never gets to light without light casting itself into the darkness. I love a beautiful sunset. If you were to say to me, Eric, what day would you like to have for your day off? And I could just imagine my favorite day. It would include the hours of 3 to 8 p.m. in the summertime sitting on the beach. Enough shade to keep my bald head from getting burned. Enough wind to keep me cool. And that sunset. I also love the sunrise. I'm sure you've seen many beautiful sunrises and sunsets in your life. What would a sunrise or a sunset be without light? In fact, the only thing that makes the sunrise beautiful is that the light cracks across the earth and suddenly that which was dark becomes light. The thing which makes sunset so beautiful is that you're watching the light break across the edge of the earth. Everything you enjoy about the sunrise and the sunset is glorious because of the presence of light. If the sun was gone today, you would very quickly die. And this is the image of darkness. It cannot be changed in you unless light comes in to change it. And praise be to God, that's exactly what's happened if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were darkness and so was I. I was ignorance, error, and evil, and now I am light. But some of you may still be groping in the darkness. Some of you may feel even today the pain of conviction, the guilt of sin, and the misery that goes along with that. Some of you may feel the weight of darkness upon you. In the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian reads his book. And he becomes convinced that the city that he lives in is going to be destroyed. But you and I have the privilege of reading the Bible and becoming convinced that our old ways of life in darkness were so dark and miserable that there must be light to change us. This is what you were, which is why the Apostle Paul says in verse 7 so adamantly, do not become partners with them. The world is darkness. But you are light. And if you've tasted light, don't jump headlong back into the darkness. Look at it, what it says in verse 8. Instead, walk as children of light in the Lord. In the Lord, walk as children of light. It's a qualifier. If you've come to rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are light in the Lord. You were darkness outside the Lord, but now you are light in the Lord. And so, friends, the source of every bit of beauty and righteousness and goodness and truth that you possess doesn't come from you because you were such a decent and good guy or girl. It comes because the light of Christ has shined into you. What good does it do for you to know who you were, to know who you are? Well, God seems to believe that truth is a powerful motivator for us. And you know this inherently, don't you? If you get the diagnosis of cancer from the doctor, you say, "Is this true?" And if it's true, the first thing you do is act. And you are motivated to act. The world is, in a sense, staring over a precipice, and they can't see that they have no light to see the edge of the precipice. It is like a giant cliff, and day after day, her citizens are walking to the edge and jumping headlong into the pit of destruction. But God says, that's not you. I've made you light, and so when you come to the edge, you see it clearly, and you say, that's dangerous. And you see like others do not, because the Holy Spirit shines in you and through you. And so you turn. And you walk like a child who has eyes to see. Apparently there were some in Ephesus who are light, but are running back to the darkness. People of God, that cannot be the case for us. So I wonder what the cliff is in your life that you have recently been tempted to jump off into. What's the sin which leads you down the slope that takes your heart on a fall downward? Maybe it's sin with your words, those precious little morsels of half-truth that you pass along. And when you do, they hurl your heart back to the person you used to be. Maybe it's sin with your mind. And you forget that those thoughts which seem so insignificant are in fact stairs which lead you back down to the cliff. The cliff where you don't want to be. Maybe it's anxiety or fear or doubt or bitterness. If you allow your mind to embrace those things, those thoughts will take you away from the very place that you want to be. Maybe you've become careless with some of your actions. And one small careless choice seemed like nothing to you. But you know very clearly in your heart that you're standing on the edge. And that choice is likely to pull your heart in the direction of destruction. I want you to hear the voice of a precious Father who loves you. He says, I've shined my light on you so that you don't want to become partakers. You don't want to go back to the place of death. And so he summons you and he says, walk day after day like the children that you are. Christ exposed your sin and made you light. And in his light you find a new walk and secondly a new way. Now, in order to grasp the new way, I want to make a comparison. What you did and what you do. A comparison is somewhat useful here. Because this whole new way is a transformation out of what was old. What you did in the past versus what you do now. Well, it used to be that you would play hide and seek with your sin. Before Christ, all of us try to hide our sin as much as possible. And we hide what embarrasses us. And we don't let our friends see just how wicked we really are. And we certainly don't want the Lord to see how bad we really are. And yet we are stunned to find out that he does see all things. Sometimes our sin is so wicked, and you would know this, college students, there are people who will just laugh at sin like it's funny. As if there is not pain and sorrow that goes along with it. You will know that, adults. Maybe we've been tempted to laugh at our own sin too. And yet even all the while to stuff it away and hide it. Hide and seek. Hide the embarrassment. Seek more pleasure to fill the flesh of your heart and numb your soul. What good will my heart feel if I take this and numb my soul one more time? But like a spotlight, the light of Christ shines upon you. And what you used to do is hide and seek, but now you're exposed to the light. And under the probing light of Christ's love, all your sin is known. All of your sin is revealed before God, which would be utterly terrifying if it was placed on the walls of this room. And yet the mercy of God is extended to you so that when it is exposed, The Lord says, all I'm asking you to do is agree with me about what I already know. What you did is play hide and seek, but what you do now is you thrive and you grow, because as your sin becomes revealed to you, you bring it to the light, and there Christ causes you to enjoy the blessings of the saving cross. And so you're not a man or woman who's destined for death. You're one who is destined for life and light. When the light of Christ shines back upon you, it kills your old flesh. And as time goes by, that old flesh begins to deteriorate, so that the memories of your past sins don't please you anymore. They don't grieve you anymore. But when you do notice or remember them again, instead of taking you to a place of darkness and sorrow, you come back to the cross. And you come back to the love of Christ for you, and that love again has the effect of deteriorating your flesh. You were dead and deteriorating, and now you are growing and thriving. You see, the light of Christ constantly tells you truth. The light says you no longer have anything to hide. You no longer have to seek anything of pleasure other than Jesus. If you belong to Christ, if He is your Savior, you really don't have anything else to hide. Nothing to fear. Because He knew all that was there, and yet He chose to pay the price. And so what is this new way? What does it look like to walk as children of light? I think verse 10 explains it. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Wonder if that's the heart of where you are. Do you strive to discern what pleases the Lord? I think we have at least two obstacles that we must overcome in that pursuit. The first obstacle is that we know so little of God's Word. And the second is that we really don't often ask the Lord to help us understand what pleases Him. In this church, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And so we place it high and we honor it. And yet so many of us go through long phases of neglecting to read God's Word. And without that voice speaking into your mind and your heart and your life, there are plenty of other voices that will. And you will hear them. And if you don't know God's will through His Word, and that old man of flesh continues to speak more loudly to your mind than the new man. This is how throughout church history there have been massive blind spots in the church. This is how we got the Crusades. Christians, let's go attack the people who lived in Israel. This is how we got slavery. And Christians said, it is not a sin to own another man, to kidnap another human being. This is how we've got to the place where some clap and applaud a culture of death. Oh, let it break your heart, but let it drive you to the Word of God. Without God's voice in your ear, you will miss the truth. The second obstacle to overcome in order to discern what pleases the Lord is that you must know how to apply His Word to your heart. And you must make every effort to apply that Word that you already do know. You see, what you used to do in the past always felt natural to you. Whatever whim you desired, that's the whim you pursued. But now the Bible and the light of Christ has shined into you, and you say, I want to do that which is different, and it doesn't feel as natural. And so I must ask the Heavenly Father to show me that which is true and to teach me to walk in that which is light. Have you ever come across a scripture which contradicts your desires? If you haven't, you may not have ever read the Bible. But quite often you'll come across passages of scripture that would say something which would be exactly the opposite of the thing that your flesh would want to do. And yet, when the Bible speaks and you ask the Spirit to convict you, suddenly you see a change welling up in you, and you become a new person who longs to do different things. To discern what is pleasing to the Lord means that you learn to die to yourself. You learn to die to your sin nature, and you say no to those sins which displease the Lord and hurt you, and you say yes to truth. Hebrews 10 tells us that if you belong to Christ, the Spirit of God bears witness to you, and He's already, in a sense, put His Word in your heart. He's written it on your mind. And yet, we must remind ourselves constantly about what God's Word actually says. And we must ask the Lord for wisdom, which He says He gives generously. Wisdom that we might learn to apply God's Word to our lives in every thought, in every action. Christ exposed your sin and made you light. And in His light, you find a new walk and a new way, and finally a new power. The light of Christ shining in you has power because Christ exposes you. And in that exposing to Almighty God, there is given to you a power to live differently because God loves you. He brought you out of darkness. Look at verse 11. Therefore, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So going back to our earlier verse in verse 7, do not become partners. And now he says, take no part in the deeds of darkness. And the two reasons that are given why you're not to do that is in verse 8. At one time you were darkness, now you're light. The second is verse 12. It is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. Now what does this mean? If this is written in the Bible to Christians and not just generally to the world, some Christians must have been participating in works of darkness. That may not surprise you. But probably what will surprise you is this. That the New Testament is not primarily written to reprimand the world into conformity. It's actually written to God's people. That they might be transformed into the image of Jesus. The only people who have power to come into the light are people who are light, you and me. And so you already have the power and the authority to judge the actions which are inside the church and inside your own heart. But you must understand, it has to begin here. In your own heart, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. In your own heart, instead, expose your sin to the light. You know this, and so do I. Perhaps the unbeliever's favorite verse is Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge that you be not judged. And let me be clear. Biblically speaking, to judge is not the same thing as determining whether an action is dark or light. To judge is not the same as trying to discern whether something is good or evil. Christians, you're actually supposed to make those kind of evaluations all the time by looking into God's Word and discerning what is pleasing to Him. And yet there's a reason why our unbelieving friends would feel that. Do not judge. They say it because we often get caught up in judging the world, in making an assessment or an evaluation of the world. Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 5 both say, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom we are to judge? Is it not my own heart that I'm supposed to judge? Let's be honest. The sin of the world is always going to be blatant. The sin of the world is always going to be in your face. But your first call and mine is to deal with the sin in my own heart. Last Sunday, we had new members join our church. I love it. Because we go over these vows that they're making, and vows are always so much higher than what you believe that you can withhold. And one of the things that they pledged to was that they would promise to study the purity and peace of the church. Do you want to know how to study the purity and the peace of the church? It's to bring your sin under the light of Christ and let it be exposed to Jesus. You'll begin by studying the purity and peace of your own heart. This passage in the whole of Scripture actually says that we must treat sin very differently than we currently do. Instead of blasting the sins of the unbelievers in the world, we should be blasting our own sins, yours and mine, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. And you say, blasting? That sounds horrible. Like light shining over the horizon, where light dispels darkness. We've got it backwards. We've got it backwards. We spend hours consumed with the social ills of our world, and we get angry about homosexuality and gay marriage and what others outside in the world are doing, but we give passing little thoughts to the sins of our own hearts. A profession of faith in Jesus Christ means you are light, and so you don't live in darkness. But let's be clear, without a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, there is no light. And so you should never expect that those in the darkness would suddenly shine with light. Don't you remember? You didn't have light until Jesus shined in you. You now have the power to see right and wrong more clearly than ever before. You now have the power to expose the sin of your heart and bring it to the cross. And that's how the light produces power to expose and power to transform. Look at the last verse, 14. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This was a hymn which was sung in the early church. They took Isaiah 26 and 52 and 60 and they blended it into a beautiful hymn that they sang, and it must have been a hymn about repentance. It didn't transcribe down through church history, but it says something important. You and I, Christians, are sometimes prone to fall asleep. We're sometimes prone to be lazy with our spiritual life. But God's people come into the light. And when you come into the light, you're awakened from your wandering, and the exposure to that light is, in a sense, a foretaste of the resurrection. That's what the song was about. Every time you come back to the cross, it's as though the light has shined in your heart, and you know what the resurrection of Jesus will be like. What a glory to be thus transformed. What a glory to know Jesus and to foretaste the resurrection day after day after day. Awake, O sleeper, for the light shines in you. It's the gospel. It's the gospel lived out day after day. The Lord God has shined light into your life, for you are light. Let's pray.